Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, folks. It is No Filter Friday. Got some bad weather out there, so slow it down a little bit. Take your time. There were a number of reported accidents around the city earlier this morning. We don't want to get into one of those. You don't want to be tied up, you know, for a long period of time for certain. So just take your time and exhibit a little patience this morning. We've got a great show lined up for you. In the 12:30 segment, Diana Furchgott-Roth, the director of Center of Energy for Climate and Environment at the Heritage Foundation, will join us. And we're going to be talking about a Wall Street Journal article that talks about coal making a comeback and coal production greater than it's been in a number of years. And a lot of what the climate czar John Kerry had to say during the Biden administration turns out just simply not to be true, which helped motivate our climate policy here and things that we were doing based on what we were told was happening over there in Asia. You're going to find some incredibly striking details about what is actually happening and what the truth is as it relates to coal production and whether or not it's going away. Looks like it's not. John Fleming joins us on a similar issue of Net Zero Banking Alliance, a United Nations-backed coalition of banks advancing global net zero climate goals through their financing activities. More and more banks are falling out, and we'll find out why. Daniel DePetris, Defense Priorities Fellow, will talk about the $500 million arms package for Ukraine that was just signed by President Biden during this lame duck period and what that will go to. We'll get the latest on what's actually happening in Ukraine as well. In the 11 o'clock hour, right at the top, we have representatives from CLECO. They're starting their 2025 budget year, and obviously they are great corporate partners. They give a lot of money to through corporate giving to not-for-profits, and they want to make sure that everyone is aware of it, and we'll talk about that. Joining us right now is Joe Geruso, City Council District member. Yesterday, during my conversations with Rafi Goyeneche, I brought up this issue, and it's not criticizing anyone, because everyone's heart's in the right place, their intentions are solid. It's just kind of a question about the way that we conduct ourselves in our business. So I asked the question of, why is the city not paying for Bill Bratton? I mean, this obviously is incredibly important. And if we're going to send the message that we are going to begin to take care of our own business, why are we not taking care of our own business? Why is a third party not-for-profit going about raising dollars to pay for this individual? And we appreciate it. They've done incredible work historically. They have delivered quality product over and over and over again. And I've said this to our guest and others about this beggar mentality of the city. We got to stand up, prioritize ourselves, prioritize the issues, fund it, move forward, deal with it. And he's here to talk to us about that. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We know you're busy. We appreciate it. And I just wanted to give that backdrop your thoughts.
Well, thanks. Look, Newell, I think the issue has always been the community outside the city has stepped up countless times, whether it's after Katrina, it's after Ida, whatever the disaster is, to put money on the table, to supplement, and sometimes candidly to say we want something to go smoother or faster than it can work in government. My understanding with the money for Bratton was part of the reason the nonprofit stepped into the fray here was because things in government get bogged down. Does there have to be a procurement process, et cetera? And after I started hearing about this sort of in parallel, as you were having the conversation with Rafi yesterday, the first thing was, well, the governor has signed an emergency declaration waiving procurement. The city should have something similar. So I don't see process as being an obstacle here. And then the next question is, well, why don't we just fund it? And so by accident, almost yesterday, as I was getting ready to leave after the council meeting, I ran into the chief administrative officer, Gilbert Montano, and just said, hey, Gilbert, this is not a lot of money. We need to have skin in the game. And two things. One, Bratton will bring a fresh set of eyes to everything. I think NOPD generally does a really good job, but it's always better to have somebody who can bring a different and fresh perspective. And two, I think J.P. Morell has raised his point as you. If it's something's in a nonprofit's hands, how does it get disseminated? What do people know? How are we all looking at it? And I said two, but actually maybe three. Three is the city should have skin in this game. And again, we've asked a lot from people and from our partners and from businesses, but this is not a huge lift. And I just don't see any reason. So conceptually, the city is now on the same page. Obviously, I need to talk to my colleagues in more detail, but the CAO's office was on board. I think it's a good idea. My colleagues are obviously supporting additional resources and looking into what's happened. And if we're going to say, hey, we're going to conduct an investigation on bollards or other things, then it seems reasonable to me that the continuation of that is let's cough up the money for Bratton. And the last thing, Noel, is I know you're always a detail guy. We fund NOPD at the beginning of the year. They're sitting on a relatively large budget right now because they haven't spent it. We can just take the money out of their operating budget right now, use it to fund Bratton, and come back and fill it as necessary. So this, to me, is not a big lift and something we all can and should do, and I think, and don't see any reason why the city shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too granular on this, but as I was watching the press conference yesterday, I guess it was yesterday afternoon, I don't even know what day it is anymore, but you know, there were comments made that the client is the NOPD, and I'm like, well, they don't really have procurement authority. It's really the city of New Orleans. I mean, you know, there's a lot of legalese, and you're a lawyer. You understand how this all works as to who's accountable to who. So it just seems to me that we're making this far more complex than it needs to be. And with the emergency designation, we didn't get to that yesterday, but that was the thought in my mind. We've got, you know, the landscape to be able to do it, to get through the procurement process, not to mention it is a professional services agreement and a personal services agreement, which is exempt, you know, in many respects from some of the procurement regulations. Shouldn't be that difficult.
It isn't, and shouldn't be. And look, I think one of the things we really need to do for the public, Noel, is stop with the grousing and finger pointing and just say, all right, this makes sense, so let's go do it. And it was literally a 2-minute conversation in the hall where, again, the CEO, who is the highest representative of the mayor and the budget chair, are saying this is something that makes all the sense in the world and let's put it together and make it work. And then the other point I think you're making sort of intrinsically in what you just said too is Bratton is going to have to talk to New Orleans Homeland Security, going to have to talk to New Orleans Department of Public Works, going to have to talk to NOPD. That might be a touch easier if his pay is coming out of the city rather than through a nonprofit who then has to make introductions. How does the city get comfortable? So in a way, this actually speeds up potentially his ability to do it. And I think that would be welcome too, to really kind of, to borrow a police phrase, take the handcuffs off of him and let him move a little bit faster.
I'm that one that gets wrapped all into symbolism all the time. I'm kind of a straightforward guy. I think you realize that after all these years. But, I mean, I do believe it sends a message to the community that the city and the city council are serious about this matter, stepping up and resolving it and getting it through the process and getting it done.
All I hear from the public is we want quality of life issues taken care of, and we just want things to work. And to the point you've raised, and we've had this discussion many times, sometimes agreeing, sometimes not agreeing, but quality of life issues have to be first and foremost on everybody's mind. and this absolutely is, we need to put on our best face for the Super Bowl and for Mardi Gras coming up and other events, French Quarter Fest, Essence Fest, Jazz Fest, and having somebody who can kick the tires and look at everything makes all the sense in the world. And I would argue it's not just symbolic. I would argue it's just good business for government to do it this way.
Absolutely.
But
your point is more important than all of it. You know, I mean, that's what I said. That's why I qualified. I'm not into the symbolism, but I mean, it is there. Right. And my big concern, I don't know if you even want to talk about this, but, you know, we have the backdrop of elections this year in October. And whether we want to agree to it or not, that gets this all hazy. Right. And we saw it reveal itself in that committee meeting the other day. You know, from my perspective, it was kind of childish. You know, there needs to be a structure. I mean, the easiest way to communicate with the council is through the council chairman. I think historically that's how it's worked. It's back and forth, you know, as to who gets first notice, a committee chair, the council, you know, council president, whatever. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I guess look, elections are always going to permeate, and that's just a reality. It just is. But at the same time, let me say this. I also think when that happens, people hear from their constituents in sort of short order, and you know, it's, hey guys, we got to move beyond this. There's a picture here that we should all be grown-ups, and that's what people are looking for right now. And look, Newell, I'll just say this. I know the council generally wants to be adults and grown-ups in the room handling things, and the onus has often fallen us to execute on stuff that is outside of our purview. So I will just say, you know, particularly for somebody who isn't running, who's freed from some of the shackles of political concerns going forward, it's a focus on how do we just solve the problem? Like, let's forget about, we're mad at this person, here's the things. At the same time, let me just say one other thing, though. The lack of communication internally is also what drives so much of this consternation. And frequently when the council gets upset, individuals, it's also because it's been this historical, we're not in the loop. I do agree, like, sometimes I don't know something that maybe I ought to know, but okay, you find out about it. How do we move forward together? And in this instance, I think at the end of the day, the public wants everybody to be of the same mind. How do we do it? How do we accomplish it? And for a council in particular, I think it's about how do we provide the resources? We're the legislative. I can't execute. I can't make them go do the thing, but I can provide the money. The way I always say it is I can buy the light bulbs, but I can't make them screw it in. And so what are the light bulbs the city needs right now?
Yeah. You know, and I try to put things in a context of understanding, you know, a little bit of the importance that the execution on the deployment of security measures creates degrees of separation from, you know, relying on the heroic efforts of the NOPD or a man lift being left in the middle of Bourbon Street that actually is not permitted to be there. And they, for days, had tried to get it moved unsuccessfully, but for the grace of God, you know, made all the difference in the world. Those two coming in, you know, the confluence of those two activities, NOPD and the man lift, in eliminating the threat. And, you know, so we are fortunate, we're lucky. That these individuals stepped up. We are fortunate, we're lucky that the man lift was sitting in the middle of the street because who knows how much more carnage would have happened. But those security measures create those degrees of separation where we're not having to rely on that as much, right? And that's what's really important, because we're putting our own people, our own employees, and at risk more so. And the understanding of that, I mean, should create the exigency and the concern and the shock and awe in our response in getting this done.
Yeah, I think that's been one of my great concerns, too, because every time I'm talking about bollards or arches or whatever the thing may be. I'm not talking about how heroically NOPD, NOFD, EMS, hospital people responded to all of this. And I never want that to get lost in the narrative. Is the public has to understand there may be training, but they ran towards not only to neutralize this terrorist, but also to help all the people who've been so grievously injured around them too. And then they got to turn around Newell and do it all over again in a matter of weeks with the Super Bowl. And so that ought to be a continued part of our thanks is to all of our first responders. And that absolutely cannot get lost in all of this. And then I said this earlier today on Tommy, I will continue to beat this drum too. We've had five different heads of Department of Public Works, and we're on our fourth police chief. It is really hard to have that continuity and coordination that you are talking about when you've had so many different people who, in fairness, no matter how smart Ann Kirkpatrick or Rick Hathaway are, just have not been here to have the conversations, to do all the things, to be inserted. And then it's also why on Wednesday and Thursday, I keep on repeating my point of, I don't understand what the governance model is right now. I know ultimately somebody is in charge, but is it the engineers who are supposed to do something? Is it somebody else? Is it NOSEP is supposed to give orders to DPW? What happens, to your point, if the equipment isn't picked up, but it's supposed to be? Who's responsible? And we need to wrap our arms around that and making sure that it's very clear lines of responsibility, that things are being accomplished, and that not only all of that, but that we learn and that we get better as a result of that learning.
Yeah, I mean, it's really all about the execution. And I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but I'll give you a classic example. They repaired some roadway over by Florida Lee and Veterans Highway. And someone delivered a sewer cover ring, you know, the ring that the sewer cover sits in. They finished that project over a year ago. At that red light in the neutral ground, you probably drive by there 10 times a day. Look, I think it's still there. That ring is still sitting on a neutral ground. Now, I don't know how long it's going to sit there. I know the salvage yards won't take it because they know it belongs to the city. Probably 10 years ago, they would have. And it wouldn't have been a problem. But it's just the classic example of, well, who's responsible for cleaning up and making sure all the equipment is removed from that location that has been completed and it still sits there? You know, it's just another example of we're not paying attention to the granular details of what we're supposed to be doing as we execute on jobs and contracts and this and that. Somebody's responsible for that, right? I mean, probably in the contract, more likely than not, the contractor. I don't know. But it's just a classic example of what we deal with over and over and over again. I've seen other jurisdictions do it much better. But it's, again, that attention to details. Is it a pain in the neck? Yeah, that damn thing's heavy. You're going to have to bring out a piece of equipment to lift it because two people are not lifting that thing.
Look, you are 100% right, and I've had to tell the departments many times that when the road work isn't done right, the sewer work takes too long, something happens with somebody's bill, with a utility, they just get worn down. And to me, one of the things I've really liked about being a local leader is I don't have to worry about federal issues and fixing a pothole or getting the sewage and water bill right or whatever, turning the lights on somewhere. That's not a Republican issue. That's not a Democrat issue. That's just basic quality of living that needs to be done. And I have several things that I've started telling my staff about that my patience is exhausted on, and that I'm going to start using the budget committee this year as a place of, if you haven't done this and we are now more than 6 months in, we have to have a conversation about why it's not being done. And it may be born out of, I'm a lame duck, and so I have more ability to start bringing these things forward, but I want people to know that it's not for lack of caring or for lack of trying. And we'll keep on pushing. And that also, Newell, the other point about all this too is getting everything ready for the Super Bowl is incredibly important. But I know a lot of residents who live in sort of the more outlying areas, Chantilly, Lakeview, other parts of the city, feel like I'm not getting the love that downtown, the CBD, are getting right now. And so they have to see the quality of life issues working for them, too.
No doubt, for sure. As always, we truly appreciate your time and your insight. And thank you so much for joining us at the last moment this morning.
Thanks much, Newell. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That is Joe Geruso, district member of the New Orleans City Council. We will be right back, 504-260-1870. Love to hear from you. No Filter Friday. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. Getting a lot of text about thoughts about this issue and whether or not the city should just step up, pay the consultant, and do what they're supposed to do in setting their priorities. Let's go to Jim on the talk lines. It's No Filter Friday today. Jim, what say you?
I just wanted to say, Newell, if the next time you have a city council member on, you can ask them, because I'm just wondering, shouldn't they have known about all of these barricades we had and everything, like the mayor in the report from 2019? They seem to always push this on the mayor, and she is in charge. But don't they have some responsibility, especially the council person for the French Quarter area?
Well, understand this. In the form of government that the city has, the person with most of the authority and most of the power is the mayor, not the council. The council is a legislative body. They do have and do play the role and have some oversight authority over the city. Some of that has changed very recently to give the council more authority and more power. But most of the power, all of the departments answer to the mayor and the mayor alone. And so, you know, where we stand right now is that it really is the mayor and not the council. And, you know, the council in many respects only knows what the mayor is willing to share with the council. Because those people don't work for the council and they don't answer to the council.
So the 2019 report that they hired that security firm to do, would the council not even have seen that or known about that?
I think there have been some council members that said until recently they were not aware of both of those. And remember, we've had some new members come on to the council, right? Because you're always having this turnover. So it's very possible that many of them had no idea about that report and had not read it.
Okay, because I just wonder, especially the councilman for the French Quarter, they get a report, they pay a firm, they get a report, and then they basically just ignore it, pretend like it doesn't happen until something like this happens. Then the council wants to do an investigation, and it just seems like they get money, they bought these things, now they don't even know where they are, half of them. It just seems like they get money, they do half of it, and then when they break or something, they say, oh, well, we'll just forget about it. Or we got the report, but we're just not going to listen to it. Why even bother hiring somebody and paying them to do a security report if you're not going to listen? What's the point?
Well, it would seem to me that, you know, at some point in time, I think we need to shrink areas of responsibility. And you know, like we have a director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness that really has very few assets and resources to go implement much of anything. They don't have a workforce, you know. They don't have boots on the streets. So they rely on other agencies that they have no control over. So it would seem to me, why not just roll all of that in under the chief? Because the chief's the one that's going to have to ultimately end up being called upon to provide the human capital necessary to do a lot of these things. And, you know, it just makes no sense. And then, that, you know, the chief doesn't have the authority to put in this case, her fingerprint on much of anything, because that falls under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. But it's all of the chief's human capital that's at risk. I mean, so, you know, we got to get, I think, a little bit smarter about how we set up our TO, our table of organization here, and who controls what, when, why, and how, in order to ensure that everyone's on the same page and everybody understands exactly what's happening and what's what's been called upon, and how are we going to go about executing. Makes it a lot easier if you become just a little bit more vertical and a little less horizontal on a number of these issues. And you have someone that controls the human capital out there that's critically necessary to make a lot of this work happen and otherwise have more control. It's just my humble opinion, Jim. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Rich. Rich, you're up. What say you?
Newell, I got to disagree with Joe Geruso a little bit. He said that the number one concern of the you know his constituents in this city are quality of life issues. Man, I vehemently disagree. It's safety and security, number one.
Well that's a quality of life issue. But that's a quality of life issue.
I disagree. I submit it's much higher than a quality. If it's quality of life, then it's number one. But here, let me offer.
Quality of life's a big basket. You know, it's just a term. But most of that people consider quality of life. So go ahead, Rich.
As you're talking about, Newell, we have a big shortage in this city government of a what-if department. Everybody in every department. There should be somebody asking, what if this happens? What if that happens? Let me give you an example. Could we be totally caught off guard, totally surprised if a school bus was driving on 610 or I-10, taking a curve at 6 p.m., rolled over, killed 10 little kids, and then we interview the driver afterward, and he said, hey, I couldn't see, man. All the lights are out. We have 4,000 street lights out in the city, hundreds along the interstate. And could that happen? Oh, yeah, it could happen. And, you know, why we don't have somebody in our department, in all of these departments, looking at things with a sense of urgency and fixing them, especially things that could impact us very negatively, as is the case with these bollards. Now, I mean, I think you'd agree that that could happen on Canal. It could happen on any of those streets. You know, I don't think those bollards would have made that big a difference. But here's what it does make a difference with: our reputation as having our Shiite together in this city. And we don't.
I couldn't have said it any better, Rich. I mean, I think this is all about prioritization. This is all about execution. Lights on the main travel highways are important. They're important from a security purpose. They're important from a safety purpose. We just have to make it a priority. Somebody's managing these contracts. Somebody's got to manage, all of this and the assets. You know, we have press conference after press conference. We got this federal grant, this state grant, this money coming from this place, this money coming from that place. We're going to go buy equipment A, B, C, D. We go out and buy it. We utilize it for a little while. We don't maintain it. It breaks, and we stick it in a warehouse.
Yeah, no. I'm going to offer a little
bit of not a healthy. That's not a healthy cycle. It's not a healthy cycle,
I totally agree. So here's an observation. I'm not from New Orleans, but I've been here over 10 years, and I've seen this enough to know there is such a lack of accountability and responsibility in this city government, and it's disgusting. Nobody gets fired. Everybody's looking at who's in charge of this. I don't know. There has to be defined a single point of responsibility for every single function in the city. And honestly, I like Joe. There are a couple of other leaders on our city council, but we also have some people on our city council who are the opposite of leaders. They're politicians. They love pointing out the failure of Mayor Cantrell, but they don't offer anything in the way of a solution or stepping into the void when there's a leadership void. And we all know that we have one. So I would say that.
Rich, I would disagree with you a little bit. I mean, they have to be mindful of, the limits under the city charter as to what they do. They've gone about changing the city charter in order to give them more say so. For example, in the hiring of the chief and a lot of other positions that they now have to approve, where it's just not the whim of the elected mayor. And, they've gone about doing that. So they have to be mindful of it. They have to do it in a very deliberate way, but in a legal way, in order to exercise, so that they can exercise meaningful authority, right? I mean, they could just do it for the sake of doing it, but it's not going to necessarily be meaningful because it can't really compel the mayor to do a whole lot of things. The truth be told here, Rich, and what no one is really talking about, and I mentioned this in my monologue 2 days ago, they know exactly who's responsible for not executing on the security plan. This mayor knows. This mayor has chosen not to say anything. This mayor has put the chief of police in a very precarious position because it's not the chief. They know who it is. They know about who knows about the security plan that was adopted. They know about the entire history. They just haven't stepped up to the podium and said that this was the failure of this administration. And whether the mayor wants to throw whoever it is under the bus, that's up to the mayor. But the mayor ought to be at the podium saying, this is my failure. And she is not. It's not gone to the podium to protect her chief, which is a sorry state of affairs, quite frankly. She's a coward. And everybody else is having to defend this chief, who was the most qualified individual during that process when she was chosen. And expert after expert has said that, and it's what I feel, Rafi Goyeneche, and so many others that have been watching this very closely for a number of years. The successes that we've had thus far has been in large measure her willingness, her openness, her transparency, the way that she's handled herself moving forward. She's not going to be bullied or intimidated or otherwise. But this mayor's hanging this chief out to dry right now. And I'm glad, and I'm proud to stand up for this chief, because the mayor knows exactly where the deficiency is, why this didn't work, who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and she's chosen not to take it on the chin. Political and leadership cowardice, plain and simple. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Oh, welcome back to No Filter Friday. We'll go back to the talk lines. James, you're up. What say you?
Hi, Noel. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
The other day, and just a few moments ago, you passionately were defending Ann Kirkpatrick against those people locally and around the country calling for her to resign because of what happened on Bourbon Street about a week ago. There are some self-appointed MAGA influencers around, including here in the state, that are claiming that the NOPD police superintendent, the police chief, get this, she failed because she was a DEI hire. They then went on and said that the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, was a DEI hire. So was the fire chief out in L.A., LaToya Cantrell. And now they're attacking Ann Kirkpatrick for what she knew or didn't know or didn't do. Because, not because of her achievements in the past, not because of her qualifications, not because of her education and what she has done throughout her career, because simply, they believe, she failed because she was a DEI hire. I think this is reprehensible and a warning to anybody out there, a male or female of color. If something goes wrong in your area and they can connect you to that, you, ma'am or sir, will be criticized and blamed for what happened because in their twisted MAGA minds, you are a DEI hire. And I think it's just reprehensible. And I applaud you for defending this. I think a wonderful selection as police.
Well, I specifically called out those that said that she was a DEI hire. I watched very closely the manner in which she ultimately went through the process. There's no evidence of that at all. It's a BS issue. Those are idiots. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand. Soundbite politicians running around, you know, like a pigeon crapping all over the place and flying away. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, are there DEI hires out there? And no doubt. And they say it. They admit it themselves. They're proud of that fact. I mean, we may ideologically disagree on many things. They're out there. Are some competent? Absolutely. Are some incompetent? Absolutely. And the same holds true for any other process that's out there. Look, let's just look at what's going on around the country and the failure of leadership on so many different fronts. I don't really care whether or not they're a DEI hire or not. The fact of the matter is they're not doing a job. And if they can't do the job or they're not willing to do the job, they need to move on. And people need to make difficult decisions. You know, I mean, I used to make those decisions every day. They're not easy. In fact, I had very few friends within the organization because I was always mindful of the fact that I had to remain objective when I was assessing their ability to do the job that they were tasked with doing. And when they didn't do it, it was incumbent upon me as the leader of that organization to make tough decisions, to move them somewhere else, or to move them out of the organization. Plain and simple.
Right.
Well, whether they
am I still on?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir,
okay,
you are.
You know, it seems like, you know, the term woke, okay, that's, again, oversimplification of things. So woke has now been supplanted by this DEI hire. I think it's, you know, it's so denigrating.
Well James, so is MAGA, right?
Sure. Well,
I mean, so let's be honest. Everyone's guilty of playing this name game because, you know, MAGA is the same way. There are a lot of people that might consider themselves MAGA that don't believe in a whole lot of different things that people want to attribute to a MAGA ideology. I may be so bold as to suggest that we should maybe all be worrying about making America great.
I know, no, I mean, but to attack, again, I'm repeating myself.
I agree. There are individuals that know nothing about the process in which she was chosen and how she was chosen, meaning Ann Kirkpatrick, that are idiots because they're just speaking out of ignorance. They have no idea how this played itself out. And, you know, and everybody's running around, well, you know, she lost her job in Oakland. Yeah, she lost her job in Oakland because she did the ethical thing, and it really upset all the powers to be. She called them out as being crooks. Well, I think a lot more of her as a result of that, not less. But nobody takes the time to go and gain a better understanding of the history, what she did, what she stood for, what she stood up for, and what she suffered as a result. That case ended up going to court. And guess what? The city of Oakland paid her a boatload of money because the evidence proved that she was right and they were wrong. Again, those that point that out and try to use that as her being a failure, they're idiots because they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking from a place of ignorance, inconvenience. They're lazy. They're lazy. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the background. They don't want to gain a better understanding about people. And I don't care if they're a D, an R, an I. Anyone that's engaged in that, they're an idiot. Plain and simple. James, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Riley. Riley, you're up. What say you?
Hey, I have a question. I was wondering if there was any consideration given to how and when certain streets and venues or areas, or should I say four venues, are shut down. I noticed, for instance, whenever I attend an event that may, I guess, pool over into the French Quarter, whether it's an Essence or it's a Bayou Classic or whatever. Sometimes I can actually get into the French Quarter. Other times, for other events, I can't. There are times when Canal Street, the entire street is shut down, and other times it's not. And I know that there's a lot of issues or a lot of questions regarding the bollards being placed. And I think Chief Kirkpatrick did mention that if he wasn't able to access Bourbon Street, he would have found the crowd somewhere else. And I kind of agree with that.
Well, bollards really are not impediment to crowds. It's impediment to vehicular traffic. But Riley, you pose a good question. There's a lot to unwrap there, though, because each event presents unique challenges. Each event also presents unique asks of the city, and the city decides whether or not they're willing to do that for each event. And in fact, the Super Bowl is a classic example of there are a lot of asks of the city to do a lot of things that we ordinarily wouldn't do for most other events, but because the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, we will probably, and I know historically, have tried to accommodate those asks. And that's why you will see different traffic patterns, different streets being closed and things of that nature. And it's really it's a lot to unwrap. But it does highlight something I said earlier, Riley. When you control most of the human capital as it relates to a security plan, and you are the head of that organization that controls that capital, but you have very little, not as much say as others in the implementation of that, that's problematic, in my view. Just one man's opinion. I didn't have that problem at JPSO. I just had to satisfy myself, right, as to where those folks were going to be in security measures. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with representatives from CLECO, as well as Daniel DePetris from the Defense Priorities Fellow, about President Biden's $500 million arms package for Ukraine. We'll be right back, so stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.